Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. David mentioned earlier, last Sunday was Easter. We were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, we celebrate that every Sunday. But what happened after Easter? What is it that the Lord instructed their disciples? And I'd like for us to look at that this morning. What did Jesus tell his disciples to do after the resurrection? He did give us some directions that help in building the church. And what are those directions? We want to take a look at that this morning. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 28, and then beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Well, we notice in this two directions, and I'd like for us to look at those. The first direction that Jesus gave was to withdraw from the world. Isn't that interesting? He told them to go to Galilee. They were to go to a particular place. Now, he had said this earlier. He told them earlier in Matthew 26, 32, "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And so he had instructed them after the resurrection. Now, at that point, they didn't even know, didn't understand about the resurrection, didn't understand about the crucifixion, that kind of thing, but they remembered what he said. He spoke to the women and told them after the resurrection, "Go quickly and tell your disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee." Just like he said, that there you will see him. Behold, I've told you. And so right after the resurrection, he's saying, tell them there to head to Galilee. In Matthew 28:10, Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And so as the scripture says, they went to the mountain which Jesus had told them ahead of time, which Jesus had appointed to them. They went to a place that he said, withdrawing from Jerusalem and from the world, basically from that situation. But not only did that, they did that together. The disciples gathered together in that place, a place of fellowship, yes, as they came together, and a place of camaraderie, and they were part of something bigger than themselves. Now, you can see where this is heading, can't you? We can tell that. One of the things that is important in our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we regularly withdraw from the world and gather together in a designated place. And that's what we do. That's what we're doing this morning. We have come together in a place together to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the brethren, but also we have come to worship. And notice what it says, Matthew 28, 16. When they saw him, they worshiped him. So they came together as believers, and I find this an interesting thing. There's this little note that Matthew includes in there, and some doubted. Guess what? Yeah, that's always the case. Now, you know, there can be times in our lives when we have some issues that come up that can cause us to doubt. But you know what? That shouldn't keep you away from the place of worship just because you have some doubts. In fact, many times those doubts are resolved in the place of worship by coming together in the presence of the Lord together. And so there were some that doubted, but that was okay. And Jesus went ahead and met with them. Sometimes we get the impression that everybody has to be 100% in before the Lord will work, or before the Lord will speak. But you know what? That's not the case. Now, sure, we all want to be people of great faith, isn't that right? There are times in our life when we're challenged. The Lord understands that. And so we come together and we gain strength from one another and we gain strength from Him. And I'm thankful that the Lord can still work through His people, even if there are some who are doubting. Isn't that encouraging? Thank the Lord. They came together to worship Him. Now, that word worship is an interesting word. It's a word with a prefix on it. You know, we understand that. Those of you that are into grammar and stuff like that, you know. Prefixes are those things that show up at the beginning of a word, puts a flavor to it, and so on. So this ends up a combination. There's the prefix and the root word. The prefix is a word which means at or nearby, towards. In other words, with regard to, right there in it. The root word is a word that they think comes from a root word meaning dog. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, in biblical times, dogs were relatively despicable, unclean animals. So there's a huge contrast between dogs and people. And there is a huge contrast between people and our Lord. A dog is not worthy of the place of a child. The dog gets the crumbs and the other things, and compare that to us. We are not worthy of the place of a child in the kingdom of God. But He has brought us in. Isn't that amazing? And just as a family would bring a dog inside and then give a place in the family to a dog, so we have been brought into the kingdom of God and have been given a place with Jesus in the family of God. Isn't that amazing? And the concept of worship is the recognition of our place, who we aren't, and then who we are in Christ. Well, that should do a great thing for us. In fact, I was thinking about this time ago, and I was thinking about our attitudes of worship and dogs and people and then us with the Lord. So I don't know if this is, you know, these are just some comparisons to think about, but what happens when the master shows up and comes home, dog ends up in the presence of the master, you see, their tail wiggles and they just jump all over and they're all excited because they want to be welcomed and wanted. And we need to, when we come before the Lord, recognize how significant it is to be accepted by Him. Amen. We ought to be excited. I've seen people who go to ball games and be really excited. Hey, we should be excited for what Jesus has done in our lives. The difference that He has made, the excitement to be that. I think about seeing God and being instructed and directed and trained. I think about seeing God and being changed, transformed. Seeing God and being affirmed and commended and praised. I think about seeing God and being fed and provided for and cared for. And I think about seeing God and being devoted and loyal and steadfast. Maybe it's not such a bad comparison to worship Him, to see Him and be changed. You know, that needs to be a weekly part of our lives, where we gather in a place, a retreat from the world, and we worship Him. and worship Him together. And I'm so thankful for all of you who are a part of 5 Mile. And I'm thankful for the body of Christ that makes up this church. Across the years, I have been encouraged and strengthened by you all. And I hope that it's gone the other way as well. That's our prayer. Now, the body of Christ, we worship Him together. We are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His, and we enjoy walking with Him, and we enjoy the fellowship of the church. That first direction that Jesus gave to His disciples, withdraw from the world, come together in a particular place, and worship. And we should do that as well. But that's not the last direction. The second direction that He gave them in that worship service was to engage into the world. We are most familiar with this by calling it the Great Commission. Certainly the case, but it came to them in that time of worship in Galilee. Well, we know a number of things about it. We'll just go over it again. This direction that we are to engage into, back into the world. There's a mission that is ours. In fact, He gave us that mission. He said, go. I imagine they were probably having a pretty good time there, that particular mountain in Galilee where they'd gathered together. They probably like to stay there. They would set up a little retreat center. Just stay there. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the mission is to go. To move out into our world. And the second part of that mission is to make disciples. Notice what He says. Go and make disciples. Everywhere. Our mission as the church is to help to develop mature Christians, mature believers, believers who are disciples, those who are committed to the teaching and following of the Lord Jesus Christ and to walking His way. Isn't that right? That's our mission. So it is that two-part mission of evangelism, the going, and discipleship. And we'll see that as well. That's the mission that He gave to them. And the methods that He gave, He said, baptizing them. And of course, we don't continue baptizing people. This is referring to those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They have come into the body of Christ, and the way that happens is through evangelism. People who have shared the gospel message, and then people who have responded to that. And so, part of the method that we're using is evangelism. Now, I'm thankful that the Lord uses different people in different ways in a part of the mission of reaching the world for Christ. There are believers all over the world. Isn't that amazing? And we're a part of that worldwide church. And it's because people have carried that message. There are people who have carried it locally. Their friends, their family, their neighbors. And there are people that God has called to take it overseas into a different cultural setting. Call them missionaries. But what are they going? They're responding to that mission given to the church to go into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second part, as I mentioned before, is the discipleship functions. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. We have a responsibility to not just get people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but then we have a responsibility to disciple them, to train them, to teach them. What are we supposed to teach? I like what he said here. Here's what he said. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So he's given us the content. In fact, one interesting study you might want to do sometime is to start in Matthew and read through the Gospels to the end of John and underline every command that Jesus gave. the instructions that Jesus gave. Now, I understand that there are some of them that were given to individual people that wouldn't necessarily apply to us today, but there's a whole number of things that Jesus said that do apply to us today and about how we live our lives. You know, as we would make through that, do that study and make our way through the commands of Christ and the instructions of Jesus, we can measure ourselves and see how we're doing in our discipleship. Are we living the way Jesus has instructed us to live? There's certainly no place for a born-again believer to ignore the instructions of God's Word. To say, oh, well, I just won't worry about it. Oh, no. And that's why we have such an interest in the Word of God. And it's not a mechanistic kind of thing. Oh, well, I need to have my devotions today, read a chapter a day so the devil stays away, that kind of thing. No, it's because we love Jesus and we want to be what He wants us to be. And so we'll learn and put those things into practice in our lives. Observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, this is an interesting thing because He has said we're to go into all the world, which means this, that the message of Christ, the lifestyle of Christ, fits everywhere in the world. This is not just a gospel message for the United States. Of course, the United States was not even around when Jesus gave this commission. The gospel is the message for everywhere in the world, and for every culture in the world, and for every race in the world, and for everybody in the world. We're wrong if we think, oh, well, the gospel is just really, we should just focus on one area and because those people are more likely to get it anyway. No, the gospel is for everywhere. Now, we've been given a message today from our world that basically says don't come here with that gospel message because we've got our own ways and it just doesn't fit. That's not true. It goes everywhere. I pray regularly for places in our world where the church is being persecuted because the government and even the culture resist the gospel. And they say, if you are such and such, then you're going to be, let's say, Muslim. You just have to be Muslim because you live here in this country. Now, wait a minute. The gospel is for everybody, everywhere. And it is that method, a mission of the church we are taking. Well, what's the motivation that we have for the Great Commission? Well, here's what Jesus said. He said, I am with you always. Isn't that good news? Amen. And I pray that our missionaries, the missionaries that we support as a church here, and the missionaries that other are serving in other mission boards and all those kinds of things, I pray that they will have that understanding that Jesus is with them. Amen. In what they are doing. That they will have that assurance that the Lord is with them as they carry that message forward. But you know, that applies to us too. So in other words, when we take our lives, our gospel message into the place where we work, into that factory, we take it into that schoolroom, we take it into that office, we take it into wherever we're going, the Lord is with us. Isn't that good news? Amen. He's not just with us when we have gathered together to worship here in this place. When we leave here and we go the different places there where we go, He is with us. And that means as we carry the message of Christ to those that we come in contact with, He is there with us. Boy, that's encouraging. How many times have you been in a situation where you wished somebody else was with you and you weren't there by yourself? Have you ever been in one of those places? Maybe even an airport. You show up by yourself and you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing? All right, some of you look at me like you've never been in an airport by yourself. Well, maybe that's good. I don't, you know. But whatever it may be. But isn't it encouraging when there's somebody else with you who knows what to do? And says, just follow me. The Lord is with you. And we need to cultivate hearing His voice. Say, Lord, You guide me today. You guide me here at work. You guide me this neighborhood. You're with me always. And then there's another thing a little earlier on, and that is He says, well, at the end, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. You see, this message of the gospel is not our idea. It's not something we made up. No, it's His. We carry His message and we operate with His authority. I come from a larger family, maybe. I have 5 sisters, and every one of my sisters has 4 brothers. And I'm the youngest brother. Now, if you are down in the bottom end of your family, one of the things you probably find out is those that are on the top end of the family think that they have authority over you. Well, I have these 3 older brothers. I love my brothers. I appreciate my brothers. When I was growing up, then I had people telling me what to do. But you know, I always relished those times when my dad would be talking to me in some setting or whatever, and he would say something like this, well, go and tell your brother such and such, especially if it was to do something. So I'd do that, and I'd go tell my brother, hey, you need to go to such and such. They said, says who? And I'd say, says dad. You see, my authority didn't amount to anything. They weren't going to pay attention to something because I said so. But when I was carrying my dad's authority, then they better listen. They better pay attention. We're carrying our Father's authority. It's not our gospel. It's not a message we invented. It is the message of the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has all the authority. And that authority has been shared with us. Isn't that amazing? Nod your heads. That's amazing. That He would share that authority with us. And we can say multiple times, Jesus said, or the Bible says. It's not us. It's Him. Thank the Lord. So Jesus gave these 2 directions to His disciples after Easter. Meet together. A time of fellowship and a time of worship. And then, I want you to go back into the world, to engage the world. There has to be a balance in our lives. A balance of withdrawing from the world and a balance where we go back and engage the world. We need that balance in life. You know, if we are always withdrawing but never engaging the world, we will get spiritual indigestion. Kind of like if we just sat around 8 all the time and never did anything else. The input's important, but so is the output. But if we are always engaging with the world without those times of withdrawal, we lose our power and our energy, and we keep giving out without the break. We'll burn out. My devotions even this week, earlier this week, was reading about Elijah. Amazing person. And you remember the great contest at Mount Carmel. All of those prophets of Baal, 450 in. And 1 Elijah. All the people invited to come and watch this great contest. And you know how they set it up. They're going to set up 2 altars. The God that answered by fire would be the right God. And so the prophets of Baal had their altar and their sacrifice and everything ready, and they were jumping around and hollering and hooping and doing all that kind of stuff, and no fire. And after a while, Elijah said, "Well, you fellows have had enough time. Come on over here, everybody." And he repaired the altar, prepared the sacrifice, and as you know, then he called for water. "Let's soak down this sacrifice." And now remember, this was during a drought. So the water is precious. And he said, "Well, I'm going to try to make sure that this thing isn't rigged at all. So bring some more water." Three times they soaked down that sacrifice. The water ran out and filled the little ditch that he had around it. And so it's wet kind of a thing. And then Elijah prays. And he prays unto the authority of God. And you know what happened.
Amen.
Choo, man, the fire came down and burned up the whole thing. And the people were amazed at the power of God. Well, later that day, there was one unhappy person. Her name was Jezebel. And so she let the word go out. I think it was on Twitter. If Elijah's head remains on his head, you know, we're not going another day without this. And boy, that circulated all over, went viral, got to Elijah, and Elijah said, "I got to get out of here." And so he took off running. Isn't that interesting? This is the same guy who prayed down fire from heaven that consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the water and the whole business. Now he's threatened, so he takes off. It's interesting how the Lord responded to that. God put him in a retreat. Fed him, said sleep. Isn't that interesting? Because the Lord knows that if you always put out in engaging the world, you'll burn out. There has to be the withdrawal. There has to be the times of revitalization. You know, God never did reprimand Elijah. Go back and read the scripture. I was reading it this week. God didn't reprimand him. God didn't say to him, "Man, that was really bad of you. You're just..." No, if the Lord gave him a retreat and then gave him a new commission. Same thing. Pull back, retreat, recoup, and now Elijah, take a new step going forward. Back in to engage in the world. That's what we need to do too. It's a part of our lives as disciples. And so we regularly, once a week, more than once a week, Sunday morning services, Sunday evening services, Wednesday prayer meetings and Bible studies and small groups and so on. And there are those times of withdrawal and retreat, and we need those. But we also go back to engage the world in the mission that the Lord has given to us, kingdom business that is His, that we're a part of, winning people for Jesus and discipling them in their walk with the Lord. We're all to be a part of it. And so even this morning, I ask you, do you have a ministry in the kingdom mission? If you're not sure, let me know. Be glad to help you. Sometime a number of years ago, different church, preached along some of these lines, a lady came to me and said, "Pastor, I don't really know what I can do. The mission of the church," she said, "I can't sing. And, you know, I really can't teach Sunday school. And certainly can't preach. And I just can't do anything." I said to her, "Now, wait a minute. I've been to your house. You're a pretty good cook." She said, "Well, okay, thanks." And I said, "What would you think if we could become the church that was known that where people visited, they got a loaf of banana bread, your banana bread? Do you think that you can make those small loaves of banana bread to give out to those who visit our church?" She said, "Well, I can do that." Yeah, she can be involved in the kingdom business. Just a little different way. Just coming aside to that, some Sundays we didn't have any visitors, and First time that happened, she said to me, she said, well, Pastor, we didn't have any visitors today, so I guess you take the banana bread home. And I said, well, thank you very much. It's really good banana bread. Then it really put me in a quandary. Should I pray for visitors or not? No, I'm just really kidding. No, we did. Listen, we can all be a part of the work of God's kingdom and the mission that he's given to us. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. Thankful to be a part of this church that's making a difference for Jesus in our world today. Let's stand as we close in prayer this morning. Well, Lord, thank you for making us who we are and then reminding us we do need times to withdraw from the world, times to come together as the body of Christ, the disciples together, to join in a fellowship and worship and a re-strengthening to hear from you and to guide us going forward. But then, Lord, also you've called us to engage the world. And so I pray, Lord, that you will help us to keep those things in balance, individually and as a church, that you might be glorified, that you might be honored, and that people may come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray for each one who's a part of this service this morning. I pray, Lord, for the encouragement we've asked every time we come together. We want you to be glorified. We want to worship you, and we want you to challenge us and speak to our hearts. Then, Lord, we go from here into our week, into different places. And I pray that you will remind us that you are with us and we're going under your authority as we help carry the kingdom business forward for you. And so I pray for your blessing on your children. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. God bless you.